Praise God. Stephen said he's going to give the kids all kinds of candy. Get them all sugared up. Which hopefully they'll be like tired and be ready for a nap after. So, but how are you guys doing? Doing good? And God is good. Amen. Thank you guys for being here. And this is Michael Rodriguez, lead pastor. Just a blessing, right? Just a blessing to be able to serve and to do what God has called us to do in the church body, right? So, so if you guys have been here for, you've been coming, we just finished up our 10 weeks of the Rooted campaign. So we're going to switch gears a little bit and start talking about some more, you know, different themes and topics. And the big one right now, I don't know if you guys noticed, but Thanksgiving is coming around the corner. But it's a good time of year, right? Fall and different, you know, yes, some of you guys love, I love the fall. It's my favorite season, actually. Favorite season. The coolness, even the morning you wake up and it's like a little bit cold, but not quite cold, your little sweater will do it. And I just love the season and different colors, although it's a pain when all the leaves fall. But you know what? It's okay, right? God knew what he was doing. He was creating the different seasons. And for me, obviously, seeing the different colors, it always reminds me of like turkeys, pilgrim hats, and all the little crazy things you make when you were a kid, right? So it's just a great season. And the next two Sundays, we're going to be talking about being thankful. Being thankful, and what does it mean, and how does God want us to be thankful? Because we have so much to be thankful for. You know, we talked about yesterday how the groups went out and made burritos, and did care packets, and went out and served and met some people and prayed for people. It was awesome. And so even after that, those people were so thankful to us, and we said, it's not for us, right? Matthew 5:16 says what? Do we get the glory for the good deeds? No. It says what? That your good deeds, and they'll glorify our Father in heaven, right? So it's not about us. That little chapter there, that little section and passage is about how we're the salt and the light, and we're the city on the hill, but it's not about us. In fact, it's always about Jesus. Amen? But we have a lot to be thankful for. And so it reminds me of a story. There was a guy who bought two parrots, and he was a believer, so he taught the parrots how to talk. Has anybody here ever owned a parrot that talks or seen one? They kind of whistle and they talk and they kind of do the thing, right? That's why they parrot after what you say, right? And it sounds like they even have little. He was a believer, and so he taught his parrot how to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And he taught him how to say, "Praise God. Praise God." Right? I don't make a good parrot sound, obviously. I need practice. So what happened, though, is he had these two parrots. And one day, when he went off to work, somebody came in and broke into his house. And they heard a lot of rumbling and noises. And so the parrots, you know, they're like, "What's going on?" So one of the parrots, as he hears all the commotion, he says, "Praise the Lord." And the other one says, "Thank God, right? Thank you, Lord." And so the bird was like, "What the heck? Stealing stuff, putting all kinds of stuff." And then again, he hears it. "Praise God. Thank you, Lord." And he's like, "What is happening? I'm stealing here. Like I'm breaking into this house and I'm thanking God." Well, after a while, obviously, there's a lot of commotion, and the neighbor drives by and sees that someone has opened the door, and he realizes what's going on. He calls the cops, right? The cops come, right, and they arrest the guy, the burglar. And then later on, right, as the owner comes home, right, the parrots still, "Praise God, thanks the Lord." And people were saying, like, "Man, why were your parents praising God and thanking the Lord? Your house is being broken into." And he said, "I trained them to say that no matter what's happening in my life, because I always have reasons to thank God, and I'm always going to have a reason to praise the Lord. Even when bad things are happening in my life, even when bad things are happening in my home, they're a reminder, right? I always have a reason to thank God, and I'm always going to have a reason to praise the Lord." Amen? So for Christmas, we're going to buy you guys little parrots and put them on the, right? When you're fighting in the middle of it and there's a, "Praise God." Maybe I should record myself, right? That'd be a terrible gift. I need to work my parrot impersonation. It was It sounded funnier in my head when I was doing the parrot sound. But do you guys see what was happening in his home, right? He says, those are the only things that I taught them because I know in my home I'm going to have conflict. I know there's going to be issues. I know the enemy is going to try to create division and heartache. And there's going to be tough times financially. There's going to be tough times health-wise. There's going to be tough times in relationship and strain. But I always need a reminder that God is good and that I have a reason to praise Him and to be thankful. Amen? So there's a passage in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 where Paul tells us that we as believers, right, are called to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in you, God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And then, so would it, as a follow-up, right, it means that gratitude for the believer should be our natural response to life. Gratitude for the believer should be our natural response to life. If we're not thankful, and we have Jesus, and we have God, and we have the Holy Spirit, who's going to be thankful? Who has reason to celebrate and have joy in their heart if it's not the Christian? Does that make sense? Amen. So, yes, I do love the fill-in-the-blank and the handouts, and you guys already know why. Because if you don't write it down by Tuesday, you will have forgotten 95% of what I said. Which is why parents have to repeat themselves almost like daily. Almost daily, right? Because you're in one ear, out the other. So, but we have a lot to be thankful for as believers in Jesus Christ. And so for today, the first fill in the blank and the first point of today's message is number one, that gratitude begins with recognizing that we have a need and that God provides for us. Gratitude begins with recognizing that we have a need and that God provides for us. Now, we're going to be reading out of the book of Luke. We're going to be in Luke 17. And so we're going to read that passage there. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Luke 17. And if you don't, you can follow along on your phone or you can follow along on the screen. Luke 17, verse 11 says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" Amen? Amen. So we'll pick up the story and what's happening. The very first verse that we read, it tells us that Jesus is traveling. He's on his way, right? He's on his Chevrolet's ministry and he's walking. This is why we need the Jesus Fit ministry, right? Because Jesus was not like a gordito like me. He was fit because he was walking everywhere, right? So amen, right? So let's pull up that first map, JD, where it says, so this is where Jesus, this passage takes place. He's over here in the north, right? There's the Sea of Galilee, and this is Nazareth. And so he's traveling, and it tells us in that first verse that we read that he was coming along the border of Galilee and Samaria. So in this region, heading down south to Judea, right? So here's Galilee, Samaria, Judea. So he's traveling, and right around this region, he encounters, prior to going to a village, 10 lepers, right? 10 lepers that are sick. Now, when you read through it, you might say, you know, I would say it's important for you to understand the context of what's going on. How many of you guys know, right, that the Old Testament comes before the New Testament? Da-dunch. Hopefully all of you guys. Amen? Hopefully all of you guys are aware of that. Because what you learn and what you see there In the historical context, what did it mean for somebody to have leprosy? The historical context, in the biblical context. Do you guys know? You were unclean, right? It talks about you were ceremonially unclean as well. So it was meant for, it usually was attributed to some type of sin, right? And the Jewish people themselves could have nothing to do, could not have contact even. And so that's the reason why they were living outside of town, right? Now, when it talks about what's happening, right? He's moving his ministry, like we said, from Galilee, and he's going down south for his final confrontation in Jerusalem. He's traveling in that border, and then he runs into the 10 lepers. Now, how many of you guys know what causes leprosy? Anybody? Lucky for you guys, I studied microbiology, and I did a whole 10-page paper on what causes leprosy. It's actually a bacteria. It's caused by Mycobacterium leprae, right? Man, fancy word. It's called Hansen's disease as well, named after the person who discovered it. It's a disease that inflicts your skin and your nerves endings and your nerve cells. So, JD, throw that first image up there. You can't quite see it here, but it causes white kind of patches on the skin. So you can see here there's a redness and there's a white patch here, a white patch there, a white patch. This is somebody's back. Show the next one, JD. This little girl here has a white patch here on her face, right? And the next one. And so what happens is, though, it's a very slow-growing disease. It's a bacteria, and it grows slowly, and it's spread through coughing and sneezing, through prolonged exposure to somebody who's sick, right? So this is why, now, when they were onto something to say, we can't be around them, because they're isolating, right? This is like pre-COVID. There was no masks, so that's how they isolated. Now, what ends up happening is it infects and it damages the nerve endings, the nerves. Now, how many of you know, right? The reason why do you have nerve endings on the human body? We talked about it last week, right? About how God formed us all together and how every part is unique. Everybody got a kick out of that little, the soft part of your ear when we talked about that. I got in trouble for talking about eyebrows. I'm not going to do that today. But the nerve endings, right? Sensitivity. What do you think it's important? When you're making tortillas, for example. When you're making homemade tortillas, oh man, with butter and salt, right? What is it? Why is it important? So you can feel it, right? So you can feel it to say, get your hand off the comal, or faster, or more saliva. You guys, you do it too when you're flipping the little savila. You better be fast, right? Because your hand is telling you, hey, it's hot. If you leave this here any longer, it's going to cause some damage. Now, guess what? When people have leprosy, it damages the nerve endings. And so what starts to happen is the tissue itself, they'll burn themselves. They'll cut their hands and not realize it. And so what ends up happening is their fingers start to even wear down. And so those pain receptors are so important, right? Now we say pain is bad, right? You don't like it, but pain is really an important part of your body. It's saying, red alert, you need to do something, move your hand. And so that's what's happening here. So you see this young man here, he's had his foot amputated, his couple toes amputated. His hands, if you can't quite see him, he's had a couple of his hands are like nubbed down from the disease, right? Now, the Jewish people thought it was because they were unclean and they had sinned. Actually, it was just caused by a bacteria. It was very treatable through like three or four different types of antibiotics. So that's why you don't see too many cases, except for in some very rural areas. The pictures that I took here, this little boy is like in Bangladesh. There's a little girl that was in Asia. The person in the back was somebody who lived in a deep part of the Philippines in a tropical area. So, that's the leprosy of the time, right? Now, what we see in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 44 and 45, and I don't have this up here, but I'm just going to read it for you. It says, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Their hair must be unkept. They must cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. And they must live outside the camp. So essentially, right, they were outcast. They were outcast, and this is why the reason why they lived, the 10 lepers were together, because those are the only people they could hang out with. And so that's a little bit of the context and the history of what's going on. Now they see Jesus coming along, right? And what do they cry out to Jesus? Do they say, Jesus, heal me? What do they say? They say, have pity on us. And another word for that is, have compassion over us, right? Have mercy on us. Have compassion on us. And that's why, number one, right? We look and examine this entire passage. Before we can be thankful, right? We have to, every one of us in here, we have to identify what? That we have a need of God. That we have a desperate need to be saved. You've heard me say it many times. I had a desperate need to be saved from myself. And my pride and my ego. And so I had a need. I was sick. And every person in here, if you're honest, we didn't have the outward white markings and our fingers. But on the inside, we were all messed up. On the inside, we were disfigured. And the inside, right, we had the evidence of sin that was actually making us unclean. Our hearts, right, we needed a transplant. And so before we can be thankful, we have to recognize that we have a need of God, and that He is a good God, and that He provides provision for that. Amen? So, as Jesus is coming along, right, in verse, it says, at a distance, they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And He recognized it, right? The lepers asked for pity as a cry that they've probably heard a long time, because they were ultimately, they couldn't work. They were having to beg. They're having, have compassion on us, have mercy on us. Now what's interesting, right, what Jesus says afterwards, because Jesus says something awesome to me. He could have just healed them. Well, what did He do? Jesus is very intentional in all of the miracles that He does. I don't know if you notice it. They're not all the same. Sometimes somebody touched His robe. One time He got some mud and spit on it, put it on the guy's eyes. Right? Sometimes they didn't even come. By their faith, He says, people would come and say, heal my servant, heal my child. And He says, go home. By the time you get home, they'll be healed. You don't even need to be present. Your faith is so strong, right? But it's interesting what Jesus asks them to do in this particular passage. Because number two, faith and obedience to God's word is essential to being grateful. Faith and obedience. Oh, I lost my page right here. Faith and obedience to God's word is essential to being thankful. In Luke 14, it's 17:14, it says, and when He saw them, He said, and this is Jesus, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. You see, what's interesting about this particular portion, right, is that Jesus chooses to tell them to do something. Jesus says, have pity. They say, have pity on us, Master. And Jesus says, well, go over there. Go do this. Is that the answer that you want? Sometimes when you're reaching out to God and you have a need, and Jesus says, what do you want Him to answer, if you're honest? You want His answer to be like, remember that, was that I Dream a Genie? She goes, or like she would twiggle her nose. Is that the same one? That's a different one? I'm getting them confused. You guys know what I'm talking about. We wish that God would just answer. Jesus, just take this away. Jesus, answer this prayer for me right now. Right? Well, it is. There's two shows. I Dream of Genie. Oh, see, I'm getting confused. I'm getting old. We pray for that prayer. We say, God, I do have a need. Will you help me with this need? Will you answer my prayer? And then God will answer, give you a different kind of answer. He'll say, remember that thing that I told you? Haven't I asked you? Haven't you already been praying and I already answered, but you're kind of, I'm not saying that God isn't, listen, who's a Gideon in here? I'm a Gideon. When I pray, I'm like, God, do this thing. If you do this one thing, show me here that you really want me to do that. I'll do it for you. Any of you guys pray like that sometimes? God, if you're serious about me doing that, stepping out in faith for this one thing you're calling me, why don't you show me a little sign over here, a little, you know, I'm going to put out the wool. And no, we want a real sign, right? We want God to show up almost. But God tells him, Jesus tells him a different response. He says what? Go. Go into the village and present yourself to the priest. Now the 10 guys could have looked at themselves and said, like, what the heck is that going to do? They wouldn't even let us into the village. They could have made up all kinds of excuses. How is that helping? Jesus, why aren't you putting hands on me? Why aren't you at least getting some mud like I saw what you did with the other guy that was blind? Does that make sense? But he says, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, why does it matter that Jesus tells them to go present themselves to the priest? Because he was aware of what was happening, right? They were outcasts, not only just outcasts because they were sick, they were outcasts from the Jewish community. We sang the song earlier, get rid of all my tradition, get rid of all of my religion. And in the Jewish community, it was a social thing and a religious thing and a tradition thing that if you had this disease, you couldn't even be around. You had to be cleared. Now, Jesus could have, what? He tells them, go. Because he not only wants to heal them, right? He wants to restore them back into the community. See what Jesus does for us? Jesus restores us into the family of faith. But we need to be what? We need to be obedient to what he's asking us to do. We need to be obedient. And so for the 10 lepers, they had to go. And all 10 of them went. Now it's funny, in that same verse, when you read it, it says, in Luke 17:14, it says, and when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. That means there was some action on their part. It means he wanted them to do something. So maybe you've identified a need in your life. We sing and you come to church and you're like, man, God is a God. He is sovereign. He's good. He knows all things. And we can reach out to them. But then God will say, will you obey? You're coming to me with this request, but are you going to obey? I use this analogy a lot. How many of you guys have kids? A lot of you do, right? And when they come asking you for something, isn't that a good opportunity for you to say, well, did you do that other thing I told you? It's a good opportunity, right? Amen. I like that, sister. With energy, yes. Because what does it feel like if you keep providing for your kids and they're like, you're being disobedient in this one area that I've asked you time and time and time again. Can you go be obedient? I'm for you. I want to provide all these things for you. But if you keep being disobedient, how does that work? It's a relationship, right? How does it feel when you're in a relationship where you're the one that's being asked to give and give and give, and the other person's like, just keep giving because I like it this way, but I'm not going to give. I'm not going to be obedient. How does it feel in that relationship? It's tiring. And we're just human beings. How about when we keep going back to God? God give, God give, God give, and God is a gracious God. But we don't do our part. I mean, if we're really honest, God would be justified just to say, go kick rocks. I already told you. He doesn't do that, though. He's merciful. He's kind. He is good. He is patient. Amen? But God is asking every one of us, you know, you have a task to do for the kingdom. not for me, not for the church, for the kingdom of God. You have a task to do. And so how does faith and obedience, right, to God's word is essential to being grateful? Because when you're obedient to what God has wanted you to do, man, that's where I would say, you want to be in alignment with your purpose and what God has for you? Just obey. It's like, again, I use the analogy with your kids. It's like, can't you just listen? Like, I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm not trying to withhold anything from you. I'm jealous for you. I only want good things for you. But you have to obey. You have to fall into line. Does that make sense? It's the same way with God. So faith and obedience to God's word is essential for us to be thankful. That's what we see in that passage there. Because as they went, they were healed. It didn't say Jesus healed them immediately. It says as they went, they were cleansed. It wasn't in the past tense, it wasn't in the future. It was as they were doing what God has asked them to do. And for us as believers, right? Belief isn't a vacuum. Do you know what I mean? Belief is not just like, well, I believe in God, but I'm just going to keep living like a heathen. That's kind of hypocrisy. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I believe too. You know, okay, good for you. But I see you. I see what you're posting sometimes. I'm not saying, no. You guys are all going to unfriend me. Unfriend, block. Block the pastor, block his wife. It's okay. God's, who cares? Listen, Jesus is watching you. Okay? Even worse. I know, I was like, I didn't come here to be, I thought this was about being thankful, not being guilt-tripped. But listen, right? We're called to be believers. And there's a difference between somebody that knows and somebody that believes, because a belief will cause you to do something, put you into action. Does that make sense? And so James chapter 2, verse 17 says, in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. The other translation that you guys probably know is faith without works is dead. It doesn't mean that we're saved by works. It just means that that's the proof. It means that that's the proof. And we're obedient to what God wants us to do, then He's meeting us there. And that's when He's working out. Honestly, when you're obedient to what God is, listen, faith is like, is this way. It's like when you're in a dark room and you bring out your cell phone. And it only gives you so much light. It doesn't give you like the, you know, those, the tactical flashlight that it's like a mile. I could see it way down. No. Your flashlight, right? How much space in front of you does it give you? How much does it light? Maybe 5-6 feet you're holding it? That's your faith. I use that analogy because the world is dark. And you turn on that light. And God is asking you to move, and it gives you 5 feet worth. It gives you enough to know where you're going. It gives you enough to show you, right? The right way that you don't fall into a cave or something. But gives you enough, but that's how you have to keep walking. You walk by faith, yes. Listen, I wish I could tell you that I wake up and God tells me and reveals to me every single thing that's going to happen. He doesn't. If that was the case, then it's like, man, life would be kind of boring, to be honest with you. It's like when you're watching a movie and somebody tells you the ending, or you recorded the game and somebody ruins it and tells you the game. My father-in-law always does that, notorious. Why are you watching this? The Niners lost again. No. He doesn't say that. A little cheap shot to my wife. He always says, we won. Right? Oh, yeah. Oh, they're already watching this again? The Warrior game? Don't tell us the score. We always tell them. It would be boring if you knew how everything was going to play out, right? Man, God gives us that. That even the unknown is a gift when we're walking with God. He gives us enough, but by faith, right? He wants us to be obedient. And then when you're walking down the path that He has you on, man, it is awesome. You start to reveal and say, oh man, God, I didn't know You had this thing planned for me. All I had to do was walk and be faith and be obedient by, and You provided this thing for me. God is awesome. But it means that we have to walk by faith. Because if it's not accompanied by action, it's dead. Now, I know some of you guys know a little bit of our story and testimony. You know, I got saved in February of 2010. February 21st, to be exact. Because I'm a nerd like that. I always remember dates like that. And, you know, immediately we got plugged in. We started serving with the local church. That was the same year. My son, Ethan, was 2 at the time. And we were going through that whole diagnosis where he has the autism diagnosis. We were building a house down here to move back home because we couldn't afford. But like we lived in the Bay Area, and for what I wanted to pay, all I could afford was like a little shoebox. Everything was so expensive. So we were making plans to move home anyway. And man, God knew what he was doing. I used to spend 4 hours in the car. 2 hours each way, 4 hours every single day commuting. 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night. 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours at night. That's a lot of driving. That's a lot of time between me and my thoughts. But thank God that he equipped me, gave me that time. I used to listen to 8 sermons every single day. And I loved it. I was so hungry for the word. And I started just listening to all kinds of really good teachers. And it was exactly what I needed in that season of my life because I was so hungry for the word. We would drive home even on the week. If we were not coming home that weekend, we'd drive to Reedley, go to church, and then go back home. I know some of you guys complain that the church is in Sanger and we have to drive from Reedley or from Orange Cove. We used to drive a long way. I'm not saying that to guilt trip you, but God is moving and doing things in our life. We started getting plugged into the local church. We had our second child was born, my most favorite daughter. My only daughter, Lily, right? And so we were kind of at a fork in the road. The summer was coming up. We knew that Ethan had just got diagnosed that summer. Stephanie was going to go back to work, but we weren't sure what we were going to do there. I started applying for work. And for 3 months, nobody would call me back. Nobody. You know, it's just like, man, what's going on? Like, there's no job. There's no work here. Like, I think I'm kind of qualified. But as I was going and learning all kinds of different things, by faith, God was asking me and removing certain things. Listen, when you accept Jesus in your life, he doesn't just say, everything's good. All these problems, your unforgiveness, all your pride, your ego, everything, gone. It doesn't happen that way, right? It's a process. And so one of the things that I struggle with, and Stephanie knows where I'm going with this one, I struggle with because I grew up in the Catholic Church. When Stephen comes up here and we start talking about the tithe, and I started to hear more messages about the tithe, I was like, a tithe like in a tenth? Or like a tithe like in a $10?
Yes.
Right? Because if you grew up in the Catholic Church, right? If you put in a couple bucks, if you put in 10, or you put in 20, man, you were like really good. Make sense? Because that's not taught. It's really not taught in the Catholic Church, I'll be honest with you. And so I started hearing a lot of the message about it. I was like, what's this whole thing about the tithe? And I started diving into it, and I was like, I don't know, Jesus. I don't know, God. I'm building a new house over here. Everything that I'm doing is going into try to finish that project up. I'm trying to buy furniture. My wife just stopped working in August. So now we're from two incomes to one income. Right? For 3 months, I had been applying for work. And I had been wrestling with this one all summer. I told myself, I said, man, I have this conviction that we need to start doing this. This is like the last thing. God will test you on different things, right? And this is one of the things. He had been removing a lot of different things in my life. But the tithe was one that I struggled with a lot, I'll be honest with you. The whole summer, I'm like, oh, man. And then finally, he says, listen, when you're praying and you get the Holy Spirit tells you, it's like, listen, you want me to, you already know. I'm telling you to be, will you trust? Will you have faith? Will you be obedient to this thing that I called you to do? And I struggled with it, and I said, oh, man, I don't know. But God, the house, and Stephanie's not working anymore. Now it's just my income. But I can't find work. And I finally said, okay, God, if that's what you want, I'm going to do it. So in September, right, I remember writing the check out. And I still remember, guys, I was sweating. I was sweating, and I wrote the check out, and I said, Stephanie, put this in the offering. She looks at it, And so here's another little marriage tip 101. Talk to your spouse before you get into something like that. I didn't. I said, just, and she looks at me and she's like, are you serious? I said, just do it. Just do it. We have to. And so she's like, puts it in. I remember still, like, I was holding on to it, like, sweating. I was like, put it in. But don't. And finally, we dropped it in the basket. That week, I got 3 callbacks for 3 interviews. And I attended 2 of them, right, that week. And I'm telling you, man, God is good. He's faithful. That's just a small testimony. But, like, you know, I got the call at United. I got another call for community. And I went to another one. And the other person, I got 3 offers. I had been looking for work for 3 months, guys. As soon as that thing is, I think God was like, okay, all right, now I can do something with that. And so God is good. He's going to challenge us in the area that we kind of struggle with. And to me, that's a small testimony, right, of how God wants to say, I'm not just asking you to do this. Will you have faith and allow me to provide? And that's been the blessing. That's been, honestly, you know, I've been at UHC for 15 years now, serving and doing God's work there as best we can. But God is wanting us to move so that he could show up and do something. Amen. Number 3, being thankful requires us to be intentional to express our gratitude. Being thankful requires us to be intentional to express our gratitude. Because here's what happened. Going back to the passage, 10 of them went. And as they went, through their obedience, 10 of them got healed. And they all got cleared to come back. But one of them, right, was intentional to do something. The other 9, it doesn't tell us what they went. The other 9, maybe they went to go have a burrito, or they went to go visit their family, or visit their mom, or it doesn't say. They went into town. It doesn't say. One of them came back. And that took for him to be intentional to go back. Because all 10 of them received the same blessing, the same healing. Make sense? But only one of them came back. In Luke 15, it's in 17:15, it says, one of them, when he saw was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And what the kicker is, it says, and he was a Samaritan. Even his own people, the Jews that he had healed, they didn't come back. They didn't give thanks. Right? They went and did their own thing. The person that was at most odds at that time, religiously, culturally, racially, was a Samaritan. And he's the one who came back. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet. And so it takes for us, again, it's not all the religious or the traditional stuff. It just comes back to say, recognizing what Jesus has done and giving him thanks. Recognizing what he's done and giving him thanks. Now, in your life right now, right, you have a lot to be thankful for, God. But even that, we always have a lot to be thankful, I would say. I say the cross vertically for what he's done. For the forgiveness of our sin, for our salvation, for the grace and mercy that he has, for Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit, for his word, for making us, right? We have a lot to be thankful for. That's the vertical. But horizontally, there's people that God has positioned in your life that you need to be thankful for. People in your family. You have brothers and sisters that you need to be thankful for. People in this church. People that have mentored you, people that have cared for you, people that have put up with you even when you were a knucklehead. Yeah? It takes being intentional to do that. It takes a whole lot of grace too, because oftentimes some of those same people are the people that drive us crazy sometimes. Right? Just me? Amen. But the Samaritan was the one that was thankful. He realized that as he's walking, right? Imagine if you're walking. Imagine that. You're walking and suddenly the white marks on your skin start to heal. Imagine that. That, to me, is amazing. And he remembered who the blessing came from. He just didn't say, well, now I'm healed. Woohoo! Let's go party. Let's go to Vegas. Didn't say that. He went back to the one that healed him. But what's funny is that he didn't do it. He didn't do it secretly. Was it a secret? No. What did he do? He went praising God in a loud voice. That's how we got to give thanks. We got to praise, right? When we come to his courts with thanks and praise and adoration and supplication for who he is. Because he's good. He throws himself at the feet of Jesus, sign of humility. And here's the thing. No doubt that he touched Jesus. Huh? No doubt that Jesus wouldn't say, hey, you're unclean, or you didn't do any of that. You accept him, just like us. We can throw ourselves at Jesus' feet. He's not going to say we're not worthy, you're unclean. Man, when we have that relationship with Jesus, we have access to the living God to thank him for what he's done. And so for us, we have to take time every day to reflect and express our thankfulness to God, because we have so much. We've been set free, right? Bondage of sin, and we have the free gift of God's mercy. And number four, the last one, right? Let me just actually talk about the unthankful nine. Because Jesus himself says, weren't there nine others, right? And no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner. It's kind of an indictment, right? On the Jewish people that were living at the time. But thank God that he didn't stop with the Jews. Thank God that his grace and his mercy extends to all nations, to all races, to people of all color, because his love for us, right? Not just the love for his people. So we have a lot to be thankful for. But the last one, gratitude unlocks a deeper relationship with God. In this passage, we see that gratitude unlocks a deeper relationship with God. Because if we read again in 17, it says, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned praise except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. In the other translation, King James Version, it says, "Your faith has made you whole." Isn't that awesome? Your faith has made you whole. Then the other 9, they got healed. And that was the extent of their blessing. See, a lot of people, when they come to God, they want the blessing. They want the answer. They want to be get me out of this situation. Give me this healing. Get me this job. Answer my prayer. And what Jesus is saying, only one person, the foreigner, came back to God and received the fullness that Jesus had for him. The fullness of what Jesus has for him. I don't know about you guys, but when I read that, that kind of stuff gives me goosebumps. See? Because what else, what could be better to receive the fullness of what God has for your life? Not just the blessing, not just the miracle. Sometimes it's the situation and circumstances what drives us. And I've said it. Sometimes it's the challenge and the obstacle that broke you and brought you to your knees. But when you get Jesus, you get Jesus. You get God, the fullness of who he is. And to me, guys, when you walk, as you get older, and you would look back and say, listen, that moment of my life that brought me to God was the most painful soul injury that I've ever received, brought me to a place where I could finally let go and let God be God. And if we were honest, as you mature when you walk, you say, I wish maybe there was another way, but I know how much knucklehead I was, that's what it took to bring me back into God's fold. And sometimes, if you're honest, you'll say, maybe I wouldn't change it. Maybe I would go a little bit less of a painful thing, But God knew what he was doing. Amen? Because when you get God and the fullness of it, not just the blessing and the healing like the nine received. The one says, man, if Jesus says, get up, right? Your faith has made you whole. What else do you want? It unlocks a deeper relationship with God. Rise and go, your faith has made you well. The other men received physical healing, but the one that came back also received the spiritual healing that was required. The forgiveness of sins. It talks about a deeper type of need. The forgiveness of our sins, reconciliation with God. Not just the physical healing that sometimes, or not just the material thing that we're asking God for. True thankfulness leads us to greater spiritual wholeness. Because man, if you're thankful to God for what he has, doesn't it change your dynamic? You could look at two different, every day you're faced with a question about how you're going to respond to the day. Every single moment by moment, when you step in the car and somebody's honking at you, when somebody cuts you off, when there's traffic over here, you're in the dropping your kids off at Riverview and somebody flips off for no reason. Like, man, that actually happened to me. And I, you know what I told him? I said, have a blessed day. And he still flipped me off. I was like, oh my gosh. Now the old me would have been like, let me get my Tupac bandana on. It's on. But I told Lily, I said, I don't know if that guy's problem is having a bad day. Right? You have a decision by decision. You could say like, oh, I'm all worked up. Oh, I'm so mad. Blah, 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 blah. The flesh, right? Wants to throw down. And the Spirit says, calma. It's going to be fine. Give thanks to God. You could be walking right now. Calm down. Don't let the enemy rob you of your joy. Don't let the enemy rob you of your joy. We have so much to be thankful for. And you think that when we're like all full of ourselves and pride of ego and anger, that God's going to come and say, now I'm ready to use this guy, or I'm ready to use her. They're ready for that next assignment, that next task. No, right? You know people that like that in your life, and you're like, psh, I don't even want to talk to that person. They're always mad. Right? No, but we're grateful, we're thankful, when we're humble, when we're showing the fruits of the Spirit. Isn't that like, that's awesome, right? To have that kind of relationship with God and give thanks to Him. So God wants us, right, to be thankful. The lesson and the takeaway from the 10 lepers that were healed was that only one of them came back. They all got healed, but one came back and received the fullness of what God had for them. You want to receive the fullness of what God has for you? Be thankful. Wake up every single morning. You have a decision to make. Decision to make. You be thankful for what you have. Right? You have God. First and foremost, let me just say that. You have God. You have access. What else do you want? Everything else is it's whatever. I have Jesus. I'm riding with Jesus. Let's go. Everything else doesn't matter. Everything else doesn't matter. And the enemy is a liar. He's going to come and try to rob you of your joy. He's going to come in to disrupt you. He's going to try to come and create conflict. I give you a perfect witness of this. Yesterday morning, getting ready to go to give some stuff, food out to some gentlemen that are unhoused and women that are unhoused. Man, the enemy started attacking me at right as we were getting ready. It's like, we're going. Boom. Big old conflict in here. My pride. Right? What did I had a decision to make. Now, the old me would have said, forget it. Am I having a bad morning? This and that. But I sat down and I started reading the Psalms. And I said, you know what? The enemy's not going to get the best of me right now. I need to be refreshed right now. I read five Psalms from 100 to 105. And I said, okay, I see God. And then I had to go. You're going to see it right here. The pastor has to check his pride and humbly say, hey, you know what? I was acting a fool, but let's work this out. Right? And I had to apologize to my son, and I had to apologize to my wife because I was acting a fool because the enemy was there. The old version would have given him victory, but this one's like, get behind me, Satan. By the power of God's word, let me get refreshed. By the power of God's word, let me get right. By the power of God's word, let me just deal with this because right now, the Tupac wants to come out. Like, what does God have to say? Amen? We have a decision to make. Every single day we can be thankful or go back to the Word and Scripture. And if you struggle, man, go back to the Word. I'm just telling you guys, this is the exact same thing that happened to me yesterday morning. And I went and I was blessed. And I knew that's what God wanted. God had said, listen, don't let the enemy distract you, rob you of your joy. Get back into the Word. Get refreshed. Get right. Apologize. Make His grace is sufficient. He's good. Amen? All right, let's pray. Let's go ahead and stand up, guys. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the great reminder that we have, Lord, in this passage, Lord, of how you want us to be grateful, of how our gratitude allows us, and it starts with having a need and recognizing the need, and that you are the God that provides, and the reminder that requires that we be obedient to your word and what you're asking us to do, and that just move, Lord God, again. When you ask us to do something and we are obedient, the blessing is really for us. But you want us to be thankful, Lord, for what we have. Number one, we have the ability to be forgiven of our sins, the ability to be reconciled with you, Lord God. We have the ability to receive the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to have your word come to life in our heart through the power of the Holy Spirit when we receive, when we study. We have the opportunity to be called children of God. You want us to belong to a body. You give us a meaningful place of service. You give us and meet us at every one of our needs. And to have you is enough. So, Lord God, I just pray that through this message that we would just be reminded of all that we have in you, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, we have the position. We have a position at your table, in your family. And, Lord, you want us to have a full life, to be made whole by giving back thanks and gratitude to you, and to unlock that deeper relationship that we're striving for, Lord. Lord God, if we're struggling this morning with any kind of pride or sin, will we just surrender it at your feet this morning? If something happened, if there's some kind of conflict that we need to get right, Lord, will you just surrender it to you? We can do all things through you, Lord. You give us the strength. You want us to be humble and to be obedient, Lord, so will you meet us there? Will you continue to bring healing, Lord God, for those of us that need physical healing? Lord God, we all are desperate and you continue renewing that spiritual healing, Lord God, through the power of your word, through coming to church on Sunday, through being encouraged through our different groups and activities, Lord God. We just be intentional to express our gratitude to you and then also just to show up, to be a part of the body, because every part of the body is important. So, Lord, just thank you again, Lord, for who you are. Thank you again for your salvation that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank you again for who you are. You are an awesome God to us, God. So I'm thankful. You watch over us, for you keep us all safe. You help us to share the good news of who you are. You help us to be effective for you, and that you would get all the honor and the glory. That it is not about us. It is about what you're doing. It helps us to be effective, to reach more people for you, Lord Jesus. To know you and to make you known. Lord, we love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.